Welcome to this latest Ipswich Town podcast presented to you by the Ipswich Star and the East Anglian Daily Times. My name's Chris Brammer and joining me today is Chief Football Writer Stuart Watson to look back at the recent goings on at Portman Road. Stuart, first of all, I've got a bit of a bone to pick with you. The web story you put online a couple of days ago, the all 78 signings of Mick McCarthy at Ipswich Town, you gave us 20 minutes to name them all. And I thought I was something of a football anorak, but I only got 71. It was difficult. I got 71 out of 78 in 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I put it together. Started off as just a bit of a fun summer quiz for people. But seeing that list in black and white, 78 signings, I think originally we got 76 and a couple of people contacted us on Facebook and Twitter, didn't they, to say we'd missed out a couple of names. And that was through fairly extensive research. We still managed to miss off a couple of really obscure players. Somebody's pointed out to me, of that 78, I think half, 49% I think it was, have made less than five starts. Now that's a fairly damning statistic, isn't it? Now the counter argument is of course that if you're going to be working on a shoestring budget for 5 years, you are going to have a fairly mixed bag of hits and misses. You know, no getting away from it. There's been some very good.
Yeah, he's had his stalwarts as well, hasn't he?
And his stalwarts and a few gems like Tyrone Mings. But, you know, there's certainly plenty of misses on there, names that we'd completely forgotten about. I mean, if you go through the wingers, Cameron Stewart, Dylan Connolly.
I don't give away too many, Stu, for people that might want to have a go.
Yeah, I won't ruin it for people that still haven't done the quiz, but. Yeah, it kind of just brought into focus the, I think, 10 transfer windows that Mick's had, or this is the 10th transfer window of the business he's done so far. And is there a sense that he's kind of putting the pieces of the jigsaw together? You know, 4 or 5 years in now, you should really be having the sense that a team's coming together, that you've got a certain style and way of playing. And I think that was the biggest frustration of last season, that it kind of at times felt like it was, you know, all being thrown up in the air and hoping that it would, you know, fall into place. And it just, to me, and I've said this plenty of times, it doesn't feel like a plan's coming together at Ipswich at the moment. I'm not sure what club and what type of team they want to be. And that's the worry going into next season.
Anyway, moving on, just talking about signings before we get onto the fixtures. Joe Garner's obviously completed his signing this week, or last week, should I say. Bersant Salina is going to sign from Manchester City. Just moving on a little bit on the Garner thing, we did a live web chat yesterday and a couple of people raised concern about what role Freddie Sears could play in the future next season. Now, he's always been one of Mick's favourites and rightly so, really, because when he plays in his correct position up front, he's a goal threat, plays off that shoulder. Could you see him working alongside Joe Garner, knowing what you know about the former Rangers striker?
Well, I spoke to Mark Lawrenson when it was apparent that Joe was coming here. He's obviously match of the day pundit, Liverpool legend, but more importantly from this story's point of view, a huge Preston fan. We saw him up there when Ipswich were there most recently. He's a big fan of Joe Garner, who's obviously a talismanic figure for them when they were promoted from League One. Well loved by their fans up there for his sort of all energy, aggressive approach. By all accounts, he's going to add a bit of needle to the side, and I think Ipswich have probably lacked a little bit of that, certainly in that final third since Murphy's gone. Someone that can just ruffle a few feathers and make Ipswich horrible to play against. You look back at that playoff season, and every opposition manager every week leading into a game would say in their press conferences, you know what you're going to get from a Mick McCarthy side, nobody likes going to Portman Road. I think they've lost a little bit of that in the last year or so, to be honest. And perhaps someone like Garner will add that. The caveat is, you know, his goal record in the Championship isn't amazing. I don't think he's been signed to be a prolific 15-20 goal a season striker. Lawrenson said he's best with a player upside along him, you know, on the shoulder. Out-and-out goal scorer, Jermaine Beckford loved playing alongside him. So Freddie Sears, from the other strikers currently at the club at the moment, would tick that box, wouldn't he? And I think we'd all love to see him get that regular run up front again. it kind of seemed to suck the life out of him, didn't it? Sort of playing that lengthy stint on the wing, and no one can kind of knock the work rate that he does and the selfless work that he does for the team. But, you know, that long, lengthy goal drought that he had just seemed to sort of knock his confidence. And it seems a long time ago since he was that January signing, and he was
breath of fresh air, wasn't
banging
it?
The goals in, wasn't he? And again, that's another criticism of Mick for me, is that he can elevate hard-working average players to a higher level, but I think sometimes he can have the reverse with players that are on a high and doing really well, and by sort of demanding that work ethic and putting the shackles on them and playing them out of position, you can see the sort of confidence drain from those and those sort of players as well, and Freddie would be a prime example of that. So I hope he's given a chance up front. It's going to be interesting to see what he does with his strikers next year. We think from everyone that we're talking to and the transfer digging that we're doing, that another striker is still on the agenda as well. They were certainly trying for Danny Ward, and I think that was still in addition to Garner as well. So if another striker comes in, I think that A would certainly spell the end of Brett Pittman's career. Another player who has been underused in my perspective, a really fine sort of striker who drops off and knits the play, and they've kind of tried to use him as a Murphy replacement, which has not been his game. But McGoldrick conundrum continues. Is he going to be fit all the time? B, for me, I like to see him deep in that number 10 role, again knitting the play and all of that. McGoldrick's kind of said towards the end of last season that he wants to play further up and on the last shoulder. So how he uses these strikers, whether he's going to play two, whether he's going to play one, whether he's going to play wing backs, time will tell.
That was my next question to you, because obviously we know Salina's coming in. He's coming from a Premier League giant, Manchester City, who, when they send you a young player out, they likes of Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, expect those youngsters to play regularly, don't they? Like, as in with Maitland-Niles when he came from Arsenal. So if that is the case, and he is an out and out winger, does that suggest that Mick's going to look at maybe a 4-4-2 with possibly Grant Ward on the other side? Because let's not forget, he finished last season quite successfully at times with the wing-back formation that you suggested. And one of those players that played in one of those roles was Jordan Spence, who was also signed this summer. So what do you think is going to happen in terms of formation this season?
Be interesting to see, won't it? I think for a long, long time, a lot of fans were saying, we've got the personnel here for wing-backs. Certainly when you looked at the defence, there was always this conundrum about the balance of the centre-backs, two left-footed defenders in Smith and Berra, and Chambers was an issue at right-back, and how are we going to sort that out? So wing-backs and having a back three certainly addresses that, and I think I look at the three centre-backs for next season, left-footed Tommy Smith, Adam Webster in the middle, it gives him the freedom to break out of defence and going on those marauding runs that we saw before his injury, and Luke Chambers sort of on that right side of a three, that would seem perfect for them. I think the fullbacks that we have are more suited to being attack-minded. Mm-hmm. Certainly Kenlock and Emmanuel, I think, are better going forward than they are defensively at the moment, still learning their trade in that respect. So that might suit them. Spence, you mentioned as well. But the issue is then further forward, if you've got, you know, it doesn't accommodate wingers, you've brought in Danny Rowe, where's his role in that
team?
Yes,
I forgot about Danny Rowe.
Grant Ward, you mentioned. I actually quite liked Grant Ward through the middle. I thought he was as effective, if not more effective, through the middle. I guess, you know, it will be different formations for different games and different occasions, really. Salina, I have to be honest, I don't know too much about him beyond the highlights, reels and things. He might be one that's versatile. Perhaps he can play in that sort of central attacking role as well. I don't know. But it will be interesting to see which formation he goes with. I hope they stick with a formation and they say, this is Ipswich Town, this is the way we play, because too often Mick picks his formation based on the opposition, which is fine if you're going away to Newcastle and you're matching them up to stop them playing. Of course, there's occasions when you do that, but it's the home games against your Barnsleys and your Millwalls. You know, decide how you want to play and impose yourself on the game and think, let's make them think about stopping us. I hope they do more of that this season.
Talking about Barnsley and Millwall, there's a seamless link there into the new fixtures that were released yesterday. Ipswich play them both in the first month away from home. Let's look at the first month of August. Birmingham at home on the 5th, and we've got Barnsley and Millwall in quick succession away from home before home games against Brentford and Fulham to finish the month. What do you think of that start?
Well, again, we have to add the caveat that it's the Championship. It's unpredictable. It's not a league to bet on. Anyone can beat anyone. All the rest of the cliches. But on paper, I think that's a pretty reasonable start. Looking at that, and it's a golden chance, I think, for Ipswich to change the mood. And the onus certainly will be on Mick and the players to change that mood at the moment, because no doubt that there's a sort of negative, pessimistic feel about the place. 18 months of lack of entertainment here, without doubt. Obviously, the bigger picture is 16 seasons now in the Championship. So just a sense of stagnation, a sense of treading water. And, you know, the fans will need to see something to give them renewed hope in those first few games. And there's no reason, certainly in those first three fixtures, four fixtures, to set up positively, to try and play sort of front foot, high tempo, you know, football that we saw that they are capable of, because we saw it in that Easter Monday game against Newcastle. We saw it in that brief upturn in fortune around February time, didn't we, as well? So they've got the players to do it, and I think if they can strengthen in three or four key areas, you know, a few more decent signings this summer, get Hughes on board or a player of that ilk for central midfield, then if they start well, they could change the mood. If they start badly and it's a continuation of the same, and Mick reels off the Barnsley and Millwall team as if they're Barcelona pre-match, and starts talking about, you know, good away points and all the rest of it, I think the mood could turn rather sour.
Just looking at that fixture list throughout, and I know we've got to play every team twice, 46 games a season, you don't know how the other teams are going to end up performing. But you just have to look at the strength of the Championship. I'm just looking at a few fixtures here. Starting, there's a run of about 8 or 9 games from November 18th onwards. Hull away, Sheffield Wednesday home, Villa away, Forest home, Middlesbrough away, Reading home, Wolves away, QPR home, Derby home, Fulham away, well, Leeds at home as well. I know that's quite a big number of fixtures to reel off in one go, but I mean, the quality of some of those teams and the amount of money some of those teams are going to be spending this summer, it's frightening, really, isn't it? When you look at what Ipswich have got to come up against.
Absolutely. That little period there from late November through to the start of New Year, I looked at that and I thought...
Especially if you've not got the biggest squad as well, when suspensions and injuries hit and you're playing Saturday, Tuesday on in tough conditions as well.
I mean, they talk about November being sacking season. That was obviously Mick came in on November 1st after Jewell went. That's kind of the period when owners get a bit twitchy and fans can turn and all the rest of it. And that's why that fast start from those fixtures that we mentioned is crucial, because you don't want to have a poor start and then be going into those games around, you know, those games coming thick and fast. You talked about the size of the squad. I think they'll be carrying a smaller squad this year, which I'm not adverse to. I think last year, certainly, they've been carrying too many passengers. It was a bloated squad. With the greatest respect, with people like Giles Coke, who's had his injuries, but, you know, Leon Best and plenty of others that were picking up wages and not really contributing. I think they need to get back to that tight-knit underdog mentality about them, which characterised that playoff season. You know, they haven't got the same finances as some of the other clubs. I think they really need to kind of foster that underdog spirit again. We've got a small squad, we're up against it. And try and get that feeling about the place again this season. But you're right, that period around, you know, pre-Christmas looks pretty tough.
And how are we feeling about Derby, Cardiff and Sheffield Wednesday away on a Tuesday night? Nice short trips for us.
Yeah, I mean, I guess being out here in Suffolk, we're always going to get one or two that are difficult. I think Norwich have got midweek trips to Sunderland and Middlesbrough, haven't they? So it could have been worse. Cardiff is obviously the worst one for midweek, but Derby's not too bad, and Millwall, of course. So I think the fixture list has been reasonably kind. A home game on Boxing Day, which is always nice. A home game to start, which is always nice. On the flip side, I think, you know, the finish looks fairly tough as well. So just again reiterates that I think a decent start is going to be crucial.
And I saw you sorting out your flights to Ireland yesterday for the pre-season game against Drogheda. You've got a couple of weeks off, I think, now. I mean, you come straight back into the middle of it, don't you, when pre-season really starts to hot up?
Yeah, back to pre-season next Monday. So you'll be there mm-hmm. when you're speaking to Mick and seeing, I'm sure he'll have a few things to say about how his meeting with Marcus went before he jetted off on his holidays. Be interesting to see what Mick says from that. And then, as you say, the pre-season starts with that trip to Ireland. I'll be out there in Dublin. Never read too much into those games. I think their season will be underway then. So certainly the games against Shelbourne, they've put out, you know, it's a reserve side, it's effectively an Irish reserve side. So it's just about getting some game time back in the legs. I have to say I'm a little bit underwhelmed by pre-season. I know it's only pre-season, but it would have been nice for them to mix it up, I think, this year. I guess logistically it makes sense not to go too far and to do the usual games against Colchester and Gillingham and Charlton and Peterborough. But I don't know, with the sense of this sort of Groundhog Day feel about the place at the moment, just something a little bit different this year might have just excited everyone and enthused everyone going into the season again. No home friendly going into the season. You know, that was always nice when you got a decent European team come. That's not here again.
Or a Belgian second division side.
Yeah, I mean that was ridiculous last year. I mean that opposition was poor and they still lost that game, didn't they? And Mick always, I mean, I'm sure we'll hear Mick again say, I hate pre-season, I hated it as a player, I hate it as a manager, it's pointless. It does set the tone, and going back to that pre-season, heading in to that sixth place finish, I went out to Ireland and I watched a bit of training, and I vividly remember seeing Murphy and thinking, oof, he looks up for it this year. He'd come back, he looked lean, he looked strong, he looked up for it, and you just had a sense it could be his year. And of course he went on to score those 27 goals. And last year, the year that Fraser came in, you kind of got a bit of a feeling that he was going to be a decent player. So I do think it sets the tone, and I hope that they can have a decent pre-season, and because, you know, it will get the confidence up and it provides you a bit of momentum going into the season. Be interesting to see what Selena's like. We don't know much about him. He's due to report back on Monday, so always nice to see what the new boys are like.
Well, that's it. No, that's just about it for this week's podcast. The lights are going off on us in the office as we speak. So just before we go, I'd just like to remind you of the latest Kings of Anglia magazine that's out in the shops right now, featuring Stuart's exclusive interview with Tommy Smith, plus much more. And also, just a reminder for you to keep logging onto our websites, www.eadt.co.uk and ipswichstar.co.uk, for all the latest transfer news, plus all the reaction from yesterday's fixture releases. We're working hard during the day to get some stories out online, and there's plenty of interesting content to keep you entertained for a few minutes through your dinner break or in the evening or whenever you choose to go online. Until next time, thanks very much for listening and goodbye.